Hello and welcome to the B-side for Titus Chapter 2. My conversation with Peyton Jones went a little overtime, but great stuff. So these are the extras that you missed. We begin as Peyton is digging into this essential concept that ideas change lives, that what we believe changes how we live. Remember, this is central to Paul's instruction for Titus. Paul tells him to teach, exhort, and rebuke. Teaching is about what we believe, while exhorting and rebuking are about how we live. Teach the truth, teach sound doctrine, then exhort and encourage to live sound lives that match what we believe, and rebuke when they don't match. But is it true? Does what we believe really change how we live? With some thoughts on that, here is more from Peyton's message in Titus 2.
How can an idea change our lives? Shakespeare said that the pen is mightier than the sword, because words come from thoughts. Mein Kampf, which was Hitler's manifesto for the extermination of millions of people, was a weighty tome. But did you know that 500 people died for every one word printed in that book? That is the power of what an evil ideology can do. But what about the gospel? The gospel not only changed the course of your eternity, but it changed world history. There are only three words in the statement I'm about to give that summarizes what Paul just laid down, but it is the most powerful and dangerous idea in all of history, because if it's true, it changes everything. People have gone to their deaths by the thousands for bravely declaring these three short words: Jesus is Lord. If those words are potent enough to change the world and your eternity, then they're powerful enough to change their life. Because if they're true, those words change everything in your life as well. If you're an older man, it'll make you like all the things that Paul listed out already. If you're an older woman, it can change you into a woman who should be reproduced in the life of a younger woman. If you're a young man, it will make you a model citizen. If you're a young woman, it'll be a woman who loves her husband, her family, and her children. And if you're a bondservant, it's someone who makes the gospel look attractive simply by the way they work.
Now, verse 10 says that we can make the teaching about God attractive by how we live. And speaking of looking attractive, in verse 11, Paul talks about the appearing of God's grace. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. We see his grace, and it teaches us. And that word appearing is repeated. So what is this about?
Well, Paul mentions that a few things have appeared. Number one, Jesus appeared and revealed his grace. But then he will appear. We're waiting for our blessed hope, verse 13, for the future appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What Paul wants us to understand is that we live between the first appearing and the second appearing of Jesus. In the first appearing of Jesus, he revealed his grace. In the second appearing that we long for, he'll reveal his glory. But right now, according to how we live by denying ungodliness and worldly lusts and living sensibly and righteously in this present godly age, we have the ability to reveal both appearings in his grace and his glory now in the present. Our past and our future and what we believe about that will change how we live in the present.
Thanks for joining us for today's quick audio guide. You can find the full audio guide for this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.